Chapter 9. Prayers for the Sick.
In the case of Sister F, there needed to be a great work accomplished. Those who united in praying for her needed a work done for them. Had God answered their prayers, it would have proved their ruin. In such cases of affliction, where Satan has control of the mind, before engaging in prayer, there should be the closest self-examination to discover if there are not sins which need to be repented of, confessed, and forsaken. Deep humility of soul before God is necessary, and firm, humble reliance upon the merits of the blood of Christ alone. Fasting and prayer will accomplish nothing while the heart is estranged from God by a wrong course of action. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. It is heart work that the Lord requires, good works springing from a heart filled with love. All should carefully and prayerfully consider the above scriptures and investigate their motives and actions. The promise of God to us is on condition of obedience, compliance with all his requirements. Cry aloud, saith the prophet Isaiah, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? A people are here addressed who make high profession, and who are in the habit of praying, and who delight in religious exercises. Yet there is a lack. They realize that their prayers are not answered, their zealous, earnest efforts are not observed in heaven, and they earnestly inquire why the Lord makes them no returns. It is not because there is any neglect on the part of God. The difficulty is with the people. While professing godliness, they do not bear fruit to the glory of God. Their works are not what they should be. They are living in neglect of positive duties. Unless these are performed, God cannot answer their prayers according to his glory. In the case of offering prayer for Sister F, there was confusion of sentiment. Some were fanatical and moved from impulse. They possessed a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Some looked at the great thing to be accomplished in this case and began to triumph before the victory was gained. There was much of the Jehu spirit manifested. Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. In place of this self-confident assurance, the case should have been presented to God with a spirit of humbleness and distrustfulness of self, and with a broken and a contrite heart. I was shown that in case of sickness, where the way is clear for the offering up of prayer for the sick, the case should be committed to the Lord in calm faith, not with a storm of excitement. He alone is acquainted with the past life of the individual and knows what his future will be. He who is acquainted with the hearts of all men knows whether the person, if raised up, would glorify his name or dishonor him by backsliding and apostasy. All that we are required to do is to ask God to raise the sick up, if in accordance with his will, believing that he hears the reasons which we present and the fervent prayers offered. If the Lord sees it will best honor him, he will answer our prayers, but to urge recovery without submission to his will is not right. what God promises he is able at any time to perform, and the work which he gives his people to do he is able to accomplish by them, if they will live according to every word he has spoken, every good word and promise will be fulfilled unto them. But if they come short of perfect obedience, the great and precious promises are afar off, and they cannot reach the fulfillment. All that can be done in praying for the sick is to earnestly importune God in their behalf, and in perfect confidence rest the matter in his hands. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. He can do what he will with his own. He will glorify himself by working in and through them who wholly follow him, so that it shall be known that it is the Lord and that their works are wrought in God. Said Christ, "If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." When we come to him, we should pray that we may enter into and accomplish his purpose, and that our desires and interests may be lost in his. We should acknowledge our acceptance of his will, not praying him to concede to ours. It is better for us that God does not always answer our prayers just when we desire and in just the manner we wish. He will do more and better for us than to accomplish all our wishes, for our wisdom is folly. We have united in earnest prayer around the sick bed of men, women, and children, and have felt that they were given back to us from the dead in answer to our earnest prayers. In these prayers, we thought we must be positive, and if we exercised faith, that we must ask for nothing less than life. We dared not say, "If it will glorify God," fearing it would add a semblance of doubt. We have anxiously watched those who have been given back, as it were, from the dead. We have seen some of these, especially youth, raised to health, and they have forgotten God, become dissolute in life, causing sorrow and anguish to parents and friends, and have become a shame to those who feared to pray. They live not to honor and glorify God, but to curse him with their lives of vice. We no longer mark out a way nor seek to bring the Lord to our wishes. If the life of the sick can glorify him, we pray that they may live, nevertheless not as we will, but as he will. Our faith can be just as firm and more reliable by committing the desire to the all-wise God, and without feverish anxiety, in perfect confidence, trusting all to him. We have the promise. We know that he hears us if we ask according to his will. Our petitions must not take the form of a command, but of intercession for him to do the things we desire of him. When the church are united, they will have strength and power. But when part of them are united to the world, and many are given to covetousness, which God abhors, he can do but little for them. Unbelief and sin shut them away from God. We are so weak that we cannot bear much spiritual prosperity, lest we take the glory and accredit goodness and righteousness to ourselves as the reason of the signal blessing of God, when it was all because of the great mercy and loving kindness of our compassionate Heavenly Father, and not because of any good was found in us. We should ever exert an influence which will be sanctifying on those around us. This saving, ennobling influence has been very feeble at blank. Many have mingled with the world and partaken of its spirit and influence, and its friendship has separated them from God. Jesus has passed a day's journey in advance of them. They can no longer hear his voice of counsel and warning, and they follow their own wisdom and judgment. They follow a course which appears right in their own eyes, but which afterward proves to be folly. God will not allow his work to be mixed with worldly policy. Shrewd, calculating men of the world are not the men to take leading positions in this most solemn, sacred work. They must either be converted or engage in that calling which is appropriate to their world-loving inclinations and which does not involve such eternal consequences. God will never enter into partnership with worldlings. Christ gives everyone his choice. Will you have me, or the world? Will you suffer reproach and shame, be peculiar and zealous of good works, even if hated of the world, and take my name, or will you choose the esteem, the honor, the applause and profits the world has to give, and have no part in me? ye cannot serve God and mammon.